getting through these left-handed blues. Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, inviting you to this edition number 399 of The Next Step as we connect the dots between the spiritual, the emotional, the physical, the psychological, and just about everything else. So if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take The Next Step.
Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome. So good to have you with us today. It is a beautiful day here in Southern California. Everything around me except me is okay. I am struggling still with this incredible problem of how to deal with one hand, which happens to be your left hand, not the primary hand of use, of choice, I guess. Yes, I'm still fiddling around with one hand, typing. Actually, I figured out a way of making it faster, but you know what happens is all of a sudden your balance is off because you've got this one hand that's just like pounding, and you... And you realize, wait a minute, you don't need to hit those keys that hard. Anyway, I am recovering from some surgery, and the most beautiful thing happened just a few minutes ago. Getting ready to start off today's show, got everything ready, and all of a sudden a package arrives. Dear friend Madeline sent me some great, great recovery gifts. Her homemade jams, preserves, oh! Big shout out to her. Thank you so much. God bless you. This is like, it's like the best medicine you could want, you know, the best medicine. Thanks, Maddie. Really love it. And thank you all for all of your wishes and your kind prayers during this time. I'm okay. It's just one of those things that had to be done and kind of like left it to be for a couple of years and kind of should have done it. Didn't do it, now did it, now it's even worse. But I got about 4 more weeks in this cast. But it gives me a chance to kind of do some other stuff, including watching some movies, including catching up on some reading. But I need to write, I need to publish, I need to get stuff done. And I'm doing that with one finger, with one left hand, with its index finger. It gets tiring. In fact, I've got a callus going on there too, you know, which is kind of, you know, one of those things. I even thought about writing about the idea of the new hand, because think about it. In Armenian Orthodoxy, what is that left hand? What's the hand that does not make the sign of the cross? So you try it right now, okay? Take your right hand, which ordinarily it's with the right hand, whether you're right-handed or left-handed, that you make the sign of the cross. So take your right hand, put it behind your back. Now make the sign of the cross with your left hand. And what happens if you do it right away? What happens is you go down from the top of your forehead to your tummy area. Now which way do you go? Which way do you go? With your right hand, you cross over your heart. And then you come down on the other side. So you cross over, you go to the heart side, your left side, and then you go over to your right side. So with your left hand, do you go to your left side or do you do the crossover? Important question. Well, it can be. It can be. Do you know that there's actually been studies? I've actually read this kind of stuff. Like, why do different churches do it different way? For instance, if you watch the Russians, they will cross themselves on the right side first, then the left side. Some people have said it is a mirror image of what the priest sends down from the altar. In other words, the priest sends down that sign of the cross with his hands, and the Russian way would be the mirror image, whereas in the Armenian Orthodox, it would be actually a mimicking of that gesture of the cross. Long story short, did you know that the cross has meaning? Guess what? We are doing some incredible AC 101 classes. Okay, listen to me. You're going to have it on today's show notes. There will be links. So a couple, do you remember a few months ago I told you I was doing this new series called AC 101? Finally, after several months of preparation and studio time, really the magic of a wonderful editor named Aram Mosoyan, he put it all together and he's been now pumping these out. We have three of them, and now that my hand's in a sling, I don't know what's going to happen for number four, but three of them are coming out. Two of them I've already shown. By the time you listen to today's podcast, there's the third one should be out there too. These are produced by the Western Diocese. They are Armenian Church 101 questions, basic questions. You've got questions, we've got answers. Now, this is not the stuff that I want to do. Somebody wrote to me and said, how about putting these up on the In Issues site? How about capitalizing? I love them. They're really nice. I've had a lot of fun doing them and watching the process. And you'll see what I mean when you look at them. By the way, they're all very short. The first one is the longest. We didn't know where to go with it, so it's a 5-minute clip. But the other videos are all going to be within 2 to 3 minutes. And basically, it's to answer some very simple questions that people have. For instance, the first one, why do you baptize children? And this is one of the biggest questions I got. Yeah, I'm always getting into this question thrown at me by people who just, I think it's cute. And I don't mean to be demeaning, but I can't think of any other reason. They'll come up to you and they'll go, how come you baptize children? Well, I don't know. It's in the Bible that, you know, Jesus said, go to all nations and baptize them. He didn't put any specification on age. He said all nations. We know through Holy Scriptures that households were baptized. And believe it or not, in households there are children. So that means that children were also baptized. Well, they turn to me and they say, well, you know, children have no sin. Okay. And then they say, and children don't understand what's being going on. And I think to myself, you know, that's cute. That's all I can say. I mean, it's not predicated on anything that they've really thought about or contemplated. It's just some very basic thoughts that they've had. Like, you know, that has to be cute. Seriously, think about it, okay? Children have no sin. Well, what can you answer to that? Yeah, that's cute. I don't mean being condescending, but you know, like, what do you want with me? You know, I mean, this is a procedure of bringing people into the fold of the church. It's not about anything beyond that. It's about belonging. You know, last Friday, we had a meeting with His Eminence Archbishop Adishian. He is the locum tenens. He is right now at the Holy See of Constantinople, Istanbul. He is the patriarch, I guess the locum tenens for the patriarch. As you know, His Beatitude Archbishop Mesrob has been ill for several years and incapacitated, and so the brotherhood of that monastery, of that Holy See of Constantinople, has selected Archbishop Adishian, Aram Adishian, to be the locum tenens. And he was in Los Angeles, and we had a small little meeting with him, and it was very, very enlightening for me just to see the dynamics, because a lot of times when we talk about the Armenian Church, we've got to realize that it is not homogeneous. You know what they do with milk, right? It comes from a cow. They have to make it all the same. So there's the process of homogenization. And we sometimes think the same when we talk about Armenian Church. What does the Armenian Church think about that? What is the Armenian Church? Or any church for that matter. Okay, what do you think about? Well, you got to realize that they are also realities that exist within certain geographic boundaries, within certain political climates. And so an Armenian church, say, for instance, in America, might be quite different from an Armenian church in Armenia, and definitely quite different from an Armenian church in Istanbul. And he was addressing some of the concerns about, as you know, after the genocide, the Armenian community in Istanbul, I've shared this with you many times, is a unique community, unlike any other, because whereas many of the genocide survivors fled and went to other areas and built their lives. The community in Istanbul was the one community that had to stay there with the perpetrator of the crime, look at them face to face. And this is why when I went to Rwanda some 10 years ago, it was fascinating for me because the Rwandan population was exactly in that same circumstance. You had the Tutsis and the Hutus, two phony tribes, phony in the sense that they did not need to be at war with each other. It was because of different political climates that had been set up and had stirred this genocide. And at the end of it, after the genocide, you had these two populations having to share the same space together, looking at each other day in and day out, sharing their time, their resources, their going to the store, doing simple things, their daily activities together. And the community in Istanbul was exactly that same community. Now, for 100 years since the Armenian genocide, having to live within the fold of the perpetrator of the genocide and having to find a language, so to speak, to discuss and get along in life. And so Archbishop Adishian was sharing some of the concerns, and particularly those Armenians who had become Islamicized, that had been lost, but are now coming forward and saying that they are Armenian. And there was an interesting discussion about identity. And those of you who know what the next step is all about, that's what we talk about a lot of time. It's about this identity. It's the same identity that we talk about with the baptism, right? What is baptism? It's that opportunity to find an identity within a structure. And so that's really the key. That's what baptism is all about. So long story short, we made these videos to explain some very, very simple things that sometimes get forgotten because we complicate them. Children have sin, children don't have sin, they understand, they don't understand, it's original sin, Adam had a sin, and Adam, and it's getting too complicated. Really what baptism is the opportunity to come in and become part of a worshiping community and become as part of that community, to share in that communal life. And so this first AC 101 was dedicated to baptism. The second one was dedicated to lighting of candles. Another interesting one that always comes out. Always people are always asking me, you know, like, hey, you know, why do you guys light candles? It's another cute one, right? Hey, you guys fire worshippers? Yeah, we're fire worshippers. It's like so stupid. You know, some of the comments that you hear are so stupid. Think a little bit, think. Anyway, we've got some, we've now got some videos. And the third one is supposed to be about making the sign of the cross. So all of this coming out because I can't use my right hand to make the sign of the cross. I'm using my left hand and I'm doing it. I'm trying to do something. And just throwing it out at you. How important is that? Try it. Try it with your left hand. It's an interesting little exercise. Anyway, beyond all that, I'm trying to get along with my life with just one hand. And that's another interesting exercise. There was a TV show called The Fugitive many, many years ago, which was about a one-armed guy who was on the run or something. There was a guy with one arm in it. It keeps reminding me of that since my one arm is now in a sling. Oh, do I digress? Let me put a pause in it right now. I'm going to come back with some stuff that we're going to be talking about. By the way, the videos that I just talked about, there will be a link on today's show notes, so do check them out. Let me know what you think about it. They are going under the title of AC 101, Armenian Church 101. Not particularly something that I'm into personally, but I had this wonderful chance to start off this series, and I guess we're going to be continuing this series, so I look forward to working on this project and making it the best that it can be. So I'd love to hear from you as you watch them. We're going to take a break right now, Song of the Day. Last week when we got off the podcast with you, we visited a very dear friend, Silva Chilingirian, who was passing away. And within a few hours after our visit, she did pass away. Silva Chilingirian, tomorrow's going to be her funeral, and a very, very sad, unexpected passing. She was a singer, a beautiful singer at that, and a beautiful person. There is a passage that we often quote, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Comes from the Beatitudes, comes from the Sermon on the Mount by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to just remember that, because I want to come back to that after the song of the day. But along with "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted," there is a beautiful beatitude. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And I couldn't think of anything quite different or anything that better expressed who Silva Chilingirian was. "Blessed is the pure at heart, for you shall see God." I want to share with you one of her songs, Silva Chilingirian, passing away this week. Silva Chilingirian singing Umin Teneros. That is off of her Arabic album. I thought I'd do something a little bit different today. I get a chance to listen to some of her Arabic songs. Last few days I've been listening to the CD. And I'll have some links on today's show notes so you could check out her story, check out some more of her music. But she captures so much of the Middle East in her music. You know, when you listen to it, you really, it does transport you, doesn't it? It takes you to a different place. And I hope we succeeded in this selection of transporting you at least for a few minutes to someplace else. Just a beautiful soul and a beautiful voice that finds an end to her earthly existence. But I think as much as we remember the tragic sudden loss of her life, we also remember what is important and what does remain. It's that talent, that ability to share that talent, the goodness, the love that's in your heart, the blessings that God has given you. And she certainly did that with her life, with her singing, with her songs. She shared that love that was in her heart, and that can never die. That will not die. That continues to live on all the people that she's touched, all the people that have been touched by her music, by her golden voice. And we mark a passing in time, we mark a passing of this earthly existence, but certainly her soul and her memory lives within us all the time. Silva Chilingirian. May God rest her soul and grant comfort to all of the family and friends that mourn her loss. I'd like to do now is invite you into a process of development. Next week, I have this very unique opportunity to make a presentation. It is a presentation to a clergy conference of Armenian clergymen. And the topic that I'm going to be talking about is the Armenian Church and how to make it contemporary, how to make it relevant. In Armenian, that word contemporary, arti, also can imply relevance, right? So I want to share with you a process of development, how I'm going to go about this, because in a sense, it'll also help me in formulating some of my ideas. But I think it's necessary to share it with you, because basically that's what the next step is all about. How do we make relevant something that is so ancient? And I think through the last 8 years, and by the way, did you check it out? Today is number 399. Next week, number 400. Good old round numbers, yeah. 400 episodes of The Next Step. And we've been talking about this throughout. It's the consistent, if you have to say, what is the consistent thread? Or what is the next step? Next step is basically, how do you bring relevance to something that is so beautiful, something so ancient, and how do you make it relevant in the lives of the people that it affects and touches? And this is a tricky proposition, because it comes with a lot of baggage. It comes with a lot of oldness, and that oldness in itself, inherently, it is something against which the young will rebel. Hey, you've been through it. I've been through it. Definitely. You will rebel. You don't want to do the same old, same old. And then you find yourself as part of the older group just by virtue of living, and you are now older, and you don't want to make that same mistake in saying that, okay, this is the way. And fortunately, up until now, I'm still being a very real critic of what it's like. And I want to express where my heart's at right now, because also in my own personal journey, I realized that we can't stay still. You cannot, you know, it's better to burn out than it is to rust, says Neil Young in a song. And I take that to heart. You really want to burn out. You don't want to rust. Because rust is, you're sleeping, but rust never sleeps. The rust just continues to build and build until it just destroys you. And there's too many people that are rusting out. So, you know, live the life. Go all the way with what God has given you. I look back today, happens to be 30 years exactly to the day since the Challenger. You remember the Challenger spacecraft? The shuttle, the Challenger shuttle blew up. And it's hard to believe. 30 years. Hard to believe that already January is almost over. I remember it was New Year's a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, 30 years, I do remember. We were living in our apartment in Cupertino at the time. And all of a sudden it came on the radio or on the TV. It was a very surrealistic moment in that you realize, you remember, for instance, my wife, we both remember exactly where we were at that moment and focusing our eyes on this small little 12-inch black and white that we had in this apartment. And there it was. The Challenger was busting apart. We were just watching this trail of smoke and it was unfolding in front of your eyes. It's blowing apart. And your first thought is, no, it can't be happening. Hopefully they ejected. And if you remember, that was the first time that a teacher was on board, Krista McAuliffe. And there was a lot of hope for tomorrow. And basically, right after that Challenger disaster, I think NASA took a moratorium for several years. Not just a few months, several years, where they reevaluated the whole program and then put it back together. Interesting, because I was reading about it this morning, that it was 30 years to the date today. But also, right around the same time, it was 2003, February 1st, that the Columbia space shuttle had its accident on re-entry, killing 7 astronauts. Remember, it was that tile that was on the bottom that overheated. And again, same week, another anniversary, 2003 is that date. And then you keep reading and you see in the same week, again, January 27th, 1967, almost 50 years, that the Apollo 1 astronauts were killed during the launch pad test. And so it's kind of strange, all in this one week, you have these accidents with spacecraft killing these astronauts. But in killing those astronauts, what also happened, it was killing a nation that was dreaming of something bigger, dreaming of a tomorrow. And that's my tie-in really over there, because you really never want to lose that dream. You never want to kill it so far that you stop dreaming or that you stop reaching for what might be possible. And I think that's really my fascination. That's been my personal fascination with the space program. And I'm sure for many, many millions of other people, that fascination has been, because it is something beyond yourself, something beyond that you really can't reach. You can't really explain, but there is that possibility out there. And so, too, when it comes to matters of the church and where we're going with it, it's always, for me, this opportunity to reach beyond ourselves and reach for something that really should be there. So when I prepare this message for the Armenian Church, its quest for relevancy, how do we make the Armenian Church relevant, is really an opportunity for me to stretch myself, really to look beyond the parameters that are around me, the parameters that are established, as well as the parameters that are expected of you as an Armenian priest. And I hope through this last 400 episodes, you've seen that really I take that as a serious challenge, really not to look so much as who I am, what I am, but really how can I play into a bigger picture? And that bigger picture, of course, having some real-life consequences. And that's where we begin. Okay, so the basic question, how to make the Armenian Church relevant. And I'm going to use that term relevant interchangeably with contemporary, okay? Because for our discussion, that's what it's about, relevancy and contemporary, being contemporary. The question begins with why. Why would we want to do this? Well, obviously, because if it's irrelevant, it has no connection with life. Obviously, it's then like a cartoon, right? Exactly, right? If it's not relevant, it's like just like everything else in the world. What function does it have? You have a piece of fruit on the table, and you have a brick, and you're saying, "Eat it." Well, what are you going to eat? You're going to eat the fruit, right? Because it's relevant to the process of nurturing you. The brick isn't. The same way, the church, what's the relevance of it? It has to play into our lives today. Dr. Martin Luther King had an interesting foresight on this some 50 years ago. This is from the letter from Birmingham, which I've used many times. Listen to this. It says, "So often the contemporary church is a weak, ineffectual voice with an uncertain sound. So often, it is an arch defender of the status quo. Far from being disturbed by the presence of the church, the power structure of the average community is consoled by the church's silence, and often even vocal sanction of things as they are. But the judgment of God is upon the church as never before. If today's church does not recapture the sacrificial spirit of the early church, it will lose its authenticity, forfeit the loyalty of millions, and be dismissed as an irrelevant social club with no meaning for the 20th century. Every day I meet young people whose disappointment with the church has turned into outright disgust. Okay, there's your reason. You don't want to be part of this disgusting situation, and it is disgusting when you don't have that relevance. Okay, so in the process, you want to make it contemporary, you want it to speak to the times, and you want it to be loyal to its basic foundation or its basic premise, which was to be the body of Christ. Basically, where would Christ be? What would Christ be doing in this situation? And we are so consumed, with afterlife thoughts that we forget about the here and now life process, the here and now life that we have to lead. And so we get worried about, and really a disproportionate amount of time is spent about things to come. And this is what I'm so excited about Pope Francis on the Roman Catholic front. It's like he's really pushing it to let's get out of this idea of judging people and worrying about what's going to happen. Let God be the judge and let us try to live the life that we have to live. And he's a man of age, and we were talking about the second coming, because there was a book that had just been published about the book of Revelation, and we were talking about that topic, about the second coming. And he said, you know what? He says, and this is something that he confessed. He says, it's like what you said. If you remember the topic about the second coming, which has been consistent in our preaching of Armodoxy. If you're living in the here and now, if you're living with Christ in your life right now, what do you care whether the second coming is tomorrow, 2,000 years from now, 50,000 years from now, million years from now, or just in 3 days? Who cares? You live your life ready at every moment. In other words, with the love of Christ, being that agent and that receptacle and that instrument of peace. And so bringing that out is really the first step in making the church contemporary. In other words, talking to the day. And you say, well, does Jesus talk about these things? Yes, absolutely. And I want you to look at the parable of the dishonest steward. That is probably the best example that Christ can give us. It is a man who is caught doing the wrong thing, stealing, cheating, lying. And when he is caught, he is being thrown out of his position. But he goes and he figures out a way of making friends for himself in the here and now. And under no uncertain terms, Jesus is saying that the here and now is important. Don't put it off. Don't think that the here and now is something that is irrelevant. The here and now is important, that you learn to live, that you learn to exercise your faith in your life today. And so making the Armenian church relevant, making it contemporary, is really going back to the roots. And this is where I'm going to be taking this lecture. I'm looking forward to actually next week when I'll be more calm. My lecture is on Tuesday. So by Thursday, when we get together for the next step, I'll have some input to share with you. And it actually coincides with Vartanants. So next Thursday happens to be Vartanants. And I look forward to really bringing this to forum with you, my listeners, because it is so important. It is so important. If the church is going to have a voice, it has to be the same voice that it had 2,000 years ago, namely Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. And so what was Christ's voice? Well, if there was somebody hurting, he was there. If there was somebody struggling, he was there. If there was somebody facing injustice, he was there. How he addressed those questions, those situations, were ways by physically being there. And we as a church, to find our relevance, need to be there in the world today. Stop being consumed by this false idea of judgment. It's not only disheartening, it's scary to be targeting people. And really, the political climate is really facilitating this scare tactic that we have out there. The political climate here in the United States, I don't know how it is where you are, but certainly as one of the most, or the most powerful nation on earth, selecting its leader for the next 4 years has become a process of showmanship, of games. In your right mind, nobody would think that someone like a Donald Trump could muster enough votes to be on a ballot, let alone the president. And here he is. He's on the ballot. And he's commanding. He's bringing in legitimacy for a lot of hate, a lot of just talk. And it's scary. It's very, very scary. Tonight, there's going to be a debate, and Donald Trump is pulling off of it. Why? Because the press, because Fox has insulted him. Now, you go back a few next steps and look at what we were talking about the soundtrack. Do you remember that? You watch any show you want, any sitcom you want. There is a soundtrack that is put on there, which includes laughter. And it's an audience laugh. wow, look at that person. Now, that ha 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 is the producer telling you when you should be laughing. Think about it for a moment. It's the producer of the show telling you when you should be laughing. So, God forbid you laugh at the wrong time. God forbid that you don't laugh, that you don't find this humorous. And look at the jokes. Hey, I went to the bathroom. Ha 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 ha. And these are this is the way that they are, they train us. And it's scary. It's scary because they train you into thinking in a particular system and a fashion. And it takes a real strong personality to resist that. And I think one thing that I'm noticing here in this world right now is that strongness, that strength of personality is really absent from people to ask those serious questions. At least for my part, in the church, these are the questions that have been bothering me, so I ask them because the church is important in my life. Certainly, whatever is important in your life, you need to find that courage to be able to ask those questions. For me, when I look at the political climate and I look at these political contenders, one is worse than the other. I mean, really, you have to question a country that cannot produce one decent person. You look at these people and they're all off the wall. I mean, there's the fear-mongering, there's war-mongering, there's people talking about communism, there's another one that's just double-talking, double-speaking everything, and you're saying, okay, in such a large population, what is it, 300 million? Okay, let's say 100 million are ineligible to become president. Let's give it a bigger range. Let's say 200 million. You still have 100 million people. You mean you cannot bring about one or two people that can become the contenders, that can become the people that legitimately talk about things that are relevant and contemporary for us? Seriously, this is a big, big issue. Not only for me, it's in the discussion of religion. But today, it is not only a matter of politics, it's in every facet of life. How do you make yourself relevant? How do you stay contemporary on the contemporary ideas that are out there? And it really takes the courage to ask the questions. It takes the self-evaluation of self as well as your surroundings to be able to look at it and say, this is the direction we need to go in. I, for one, when I talk about Armadoxy, am taking the Armenian church that I love, that I care about, and that I know that has the answer to really not only our selective problems and dilemmas, but the entire answer to civilization. And think about it. Armenian Orthodoxy has survived despite every kind of problem imaginable. Economic, physical, disaster, natural disaster, and it has survived. Because the key to it is this foundation of love. Now, once you divert, once you go off of that foundation of love, you've lost it. And we do lose it. We do lose it in reality. So when I talk about Armadoxy, I'm trying to bring it down to a discussion of the purity of what the faith is all about. What is that faith that is at the center of Armenian Orthodoxy? In other words, get rid of the hoopla, get rid of the structures, get rid of the institution, get rid of the hierarchy. And what do you find? You find this strength. You find, well, what you see when you look at the picture of Mount Ararat. You see strength. You see perseverance. You see sacrifice. You see caring. And most of all, you see love. Love for something beyond the self. Next week, I've been invited to speak about the Armenian Church, making it contemporary. Personally, I don't believe that we need to make it anything more than it is. It really does have the key to everything that we need to talk about and be concerned about. I think the changes need to come from us, from without. We are the ones that need to adapt and understand how powerful the tool we do have. In other words, if you think there's an old Fedai, Armenian revolutionary song that goes, Miayn Zenkov ga hayots pargutyun. It is only through weapons, zinc. Sometimes it could be used as weapon. It could also be used as the gun. But only through the weapons, only through the gun, that we find the salvation of the Armenians. These are the old Fedais that were going through the lands, and there was Turks hitting on them and abusing them and killing them, and they were going through these lands and understanding that you need that power of the weapon. I tie that in with also what Magurdich Kharimian said, and he said, arm yourselves with weapons, the weapons of knowledge, the weapons of strength. And I do believe that. I do believe it is only through the weapon that you have a salvation. Now, that weapon to me is not one filled with gunpowder. It's filled with something even mightier than gunpowder. Yes. Because gunpowder was only was only invented some 700-800 years ago, let's say 1,000 years ago. What I'm talking about is what is at the foundation of all of humanity, and that is the power of love. We have not exploited that. We have not used it, and therefore we haven't even come close to exploiting it. If we can exploit the power of love, I think that we will see a different dimension open to us. But it requires a consistent and a thorough agreement on the part of all the players. And that's what we're about. That's what we try to do over here. So that's the process that I will be going through. And next week, hopefully when I get back from this conference, I will be able to share with you not only what I shared with the participants of the conference, but some of the discussion that ensued. I'll be taking notes, even with my left hand, yes. Maybe I could take my little laptop and do some typing with my one finger, one way or another. Next week's 400th episode of The Next Step on Vartanants will be a special one you won't want to miss. Anyway, That's the process that I wanted to share with you. I'm going to take a break right now. Let Susie do her announcement. I'll be back in a couple moments.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie. And can you believe it? We have made it through almost 400. We're going to be hitting 400 next week. And it has been a beautiful journey. I know a few times we've thought about pulling the plug on it. I'm so happy that we haven't. But we do think about that every so often. It's like, if we are going to take a next step, let's make it real. Let's not just make it for the sake of putting out a podcast, but let's make it real. In other words, can we get the people on board? Can we get people to really say amen to what's happening? And that requires a process. It requires strength. You look around and you see the state of where we're at. As I shared with you a few minutes ago, you look around and you say, you mean in all of the U.S. we can't find a couple candidates that are really representative of what the people are looking for in leadership? In the same way, I look at the church and I say, you mean all around us in the church, what can we find? And well, yeah, we aren't homogenous. There are differences wherever we are. Certainly when I talk about the next step, and certainly doing it in English, getting this out, it's a different group of people. It's a different audience. And perhaps that's one of the realities that we have to understand, that the Armenian church experience that we're talking about is different, that is defined by different groups of people and different audiences, different languages. When it comes down to Armadoxy, I think we can all settle down and say that, okay, we understand that there is one consistent language, that is the language of love. Now, how do we implement that? And that's where this nice union comes into play. What we talk about here on the Next Step is implemented via the In His Shoes mission, by walking in the shoes of others, by helping others, by loving others, by caring for others, by extending ourselves to others. That's how basic it is. That's the interplay between the Armadoxy, between the Next Step, between Apostle and In His Shoes. It's basically In His Shoes is carrying out the mission of what Armadoxy teaches. And all of this comes about through your prayers, through your donations, and we always encourage everyone to get involved with us, especially with your words of encouragement, by praying for us, by asking for God's guidance, not only in your life, but in the life of this ministry. So be at one with us. Get in touch with us. Our email address is feedback@epostle.net. Epostle, an easy word to remember. It's apostle with an E, because it's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. You don't get any easier than that. Epostle.net. Feedback@epostle.net. Of course, we're on Facebook. And of course, do check us out at the mothership, inissues.org. I want to thank you for joining us today. Hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed preparing it for you. On behalf of our producer, Susie, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vazgen getting ready to get some toast and put on Madeline's delicious gems and jellies on there right now. And invite you to join us again next week when we take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off by 1 top minutes.